Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guests are from the Greenville Literacy Association. I have Eleanor Vaughn, the Director of Development. Good morning, Eleanor.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for being here. Kim Phillips, also the Office Coordinator, is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you for being here. The Greenville Literacy Association, you guys have been here before. This is not new for you to come in the studio and talk to me, but I want to ask the question that I normally ask just to make sure that people are familiar with the organization in general. What do you do and who do you do it for? Eleanor, tell us about the Greenville Literacy Association.
Sure. Chris, we've been around for over 50 years in the upstate. We offer courses for people to come and get their GED, to work up to their citizenship status. We offer English as a second language courses. Our main goal is to make sure that any adult in the upstate who wants to continue their education can do it at an accessible and affordable place.
Okay. And one of the things that has been impressed upon me throughout my life is the importance of literacy, just as a very basic fundamental skill. You know, talk a little bit about the literacy rates and how important it is to be literate and the mission that you guys serve in that regard.
Sure. Well, first off, we are the only organization in the upstate that serves folks who read in a fourth to eighth grade reading level. So we are really the only place that those people can come and work on their education and make sure that they're, you know, some of them go really from kind of a level one reading level all the way up to being able to get their GED and getting a job. So we love to see that. And again, there's only about 60% of people in Greenville County that have a high school diploma. So there's 40% that don't have a high school diploma. I know, it's really shocking. So we really want to be there for those folks who kind of maybe they weren't able to finish high school for whatever reason and they, go into the workforce and they see that that actually really limits them.
Yeah.
They aren't able to provide for their families the way they want to. They're not financially solvent. We really want to be able to solve those problems for them and make sure that they have all the access to the resources that they need to succeed and, reduce their reliance on public services and public help so that they can be financially independent.
Yep. It's interesting because we've heard talk recently in the past, decade or so about college degrees becoming kind of less valuable and that they're so expensive to get and maybe the return on that investment isn't as much as you'd hope it would be and that people are trending more toward vocational schools or some kind of skill-based degrees. But a high school education really is fundamentally necessary to enter the workplace.
It really is. And you see a lot of folks will hire, especially in manufacturing, you'll see a lot of folks will hire people that don't have the high school diploma, but there is just no upward mobility. So it's really important for people to come to us and get that GED so that they can achieve that upward mobility. A lot of companies, have touched base with us and said, we've got people that really would be a great fit for this position, but we just can't give it to them because they don't have that diploma. Right. So that's kind of where we're able to step in and help people get that leg up.
And I should say, I don't mean to suggest that college degrees aren't valuable.
Right.
But even in that case, I mean, you're never going to get accepted to college if you don't have a GED or a high school degree.
Right. And so, we have this wonderful partnership with Greenville Tech. It's called Quick Jobs with a Future, their program. And people come to us, maybe they are really ready to get their GED, but they're not quite sure what the next steps are. So we're able to partner with Greenville Tech on that. And it's a wonderful program where they put you through condensed kind of intensive education in certain industries. They're in healthcare and manufacturing. So you would come to us, get your GED, and then we kind of work with you in transition to go to Greenville Tech and be able to move on to that higher education.
Talk a little bit about the process here because I'm curious about how this all goes. I've got small children and they're, I'm reading simple books to them and they're starting to recognize letters and words and things like that. And so I'm getting a sense of the process of becoming literate through their eyes, and it is something that most people, I would venture to say, learn at a very young age. But you were talking about, people who don't have a fourth to eighth grade reading ability And these are adults we're talking about. Is it harder to learn as an adult than as a child?
It's much harder, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, anyone who's tried to take, for instance, a second language, if you try to take Spanish or French or anything, if you're small, you have that, you're much more of a sponge. So you have that absorbency where you're able to kind of pick up on things that when you're an adult, take a lot more active learning to do. So we do see folks that come in and they are at that kind of low fourth grade education. Maybe they did go all the way through school, or maybe they're just shy of their high school diploma. But, you know, for whatever reason, they have fallen through the cracks of this system and weren't able to have that absorbency. So we're able to kind of work with them. We offer one-on-one tutoring as needed. So we really want to make sure that these people get the attention that they need to be successful.
Yeah. I'm interested. You mentioned that some people might have made it all the way through school. Generally, the upstate schools are regarded as pretty good, you know, the public schools. And it seems unlikely that somebody would make it all the way through the 12th grade without becoming at least, you know, moderately literate. But that still happens today.
It does. And it is, you know, an issue that goes far beyond what we do, starting with, you know, overcrowding in the classroom and the lack of educators in the upstate or in, you know, in general in the entire state. It is a problem, but we are doing what we can to remedy that, you know, and kind of find those people as they go out into the workforce and make sure that they are fulfilled and successful.
So to a certain degree, you're almost supplementing the job that the local schools do in terms of educating the students. Do you have any kind of a partnership with local schools in that regard?
We don't. We do see some people coming to us from Lifelong Learning, which is partnered with the local school district. But that's only half of what we do. So we also have an English as a Second Language program that pulls people in from all over the world.
Sure.
So we end up seeing people that have come here to work, or maybe their spouse comes to work and they end up kind of coming to live here. Maybe they've lived here for a long time and they never brushed up on their English,
sure.
But we are able to kind of help those people become functional in society as well.
Well, and I know that the upstate of South Carolina is becoming increasingly international. I mean, we have so many international businesses that are in the area, and they bring in people, as you mentioned, from all over the world. A lot of times I've had the occasion to speak with Upstate International, and I've learned that somebody who's coming here for a job, maybe with BMW or Michelin or something like that, they may already know how to speak English as a second language, but their family might not, you know, and so you've got people coming with them who have an opportunity to learn English as a second language that have not started yet.
Right. And a lot of companies do very generously cover classes. But for anyone who wouldn't have a class covered, we are very affordable. We're very accessible. We have 3 learning centers in the upstate. And, you know, we really just want to be there to cover, make sure that everyone who wants to be educated is educated, whether that's with your GED or with English as a second language.
Now, you bring up the issue of what it takes to enroll in one of these classes. Is there a cost involved if somebody wants to take part in your services?
There is. We try not to turn anybody away. We do offer scholarships through wonderful programs and funded scholarships through memorials. So we try not to turn anybody away. But if you can pay, we offer a $20 a session class fee.
Okay.
So the most you'll pay with us is $80 a year. And we really want to try and keep those costs low in the future. You know, we have to cover our overhead, but we really are looking to keep those costs low and make sure that anyone who wants to can afford to come to us.
Gotcha. And I know that one of the ways that those costs are also going to be covered and those scholarships are going to be offered is through the various fundraisers that you do, one of them being the – let me see if I get this right – really good, really big, really cheap book sale.
You got it.
Good.
Yes, I've been doing this a while. It's starting to stick. This happened back in August. I want to say regular listeners will probably remember your appearance here a few months ago in advance of the book sale. How did it go, Kim?
Went really well. We netted, after you take expenses, $112,000, which that's
okay.
Totally,
yeah.
You know, non-restricted, and so we can use that where it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And these books come through donations.
Greenville County is awesome.
Yeah.
They give us a lot of books, and we're very thankful.
And your title is office coordinator, but I know one of the things that you coordinated was this book sale.
Oh, yeah.
To a certain degree.
Book sale queen.
I like that. I'm gonna change your title.
I'm getting a crown next year and a potential scepter, so I'm pretty stoked.
Good. Good. I like it. Tell us what it was like to be there on the day.
I always tell our volunteers, just grab a wall.
Okay.
Because when the people start coming in, most of them are running. And it's really great. Usually around 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning, in that time period, I get on the stage and just look. We took pictures, and it was a sea of humanity.
Yes.
And it was absolutely a blast.
You know, I've had a similar experience. I used to work retail. There was one Thanksgiving, Black Friday specifically, that I worked in a retail store, and I did the same thing. I actually climbed up on a ladder that we had to pull stock off of higher shelves and just watched as they opened the doors. And that rush of humanity that you talk about, that sea of humanity just pouring into the building, it's kind of like that. So I know what you're talking about. And it's not just because people are in a hurry. You know, they've only got 5 minutes to shop for books and now I've got to go do something else. It's because you guys have such amazing stuff. People want to get the best books
they can find. We put out between 135 and 140,000 books.
Golly.
And most of those have been collected in a 6 to 7 week period of time.
Okay.
So what I'm pretty new to this title, so what I'm trying to do is kind of spread that out through the year.
Good.
And so what we've started doing this year is having monthly book drives.
Yes.
Every month. Now, we're going to take the month of December off. Just
okay.
But like currently for the month of November,
mm-hmm.
6 Starbucks locations, The Grateful Brew, and Align Life Chiropractic in Cherrydale held a book drive for us this month. And so in January, After School Plus, which is in Malden, is doing one. And so what we're looking to do is partner with local businesses that would take a month for us and collect books. We drop off the box. We advertise their business on our social media and our website, which we do link. Like if they have a business website, we link that from our website. So it's kind of mutually beneficial. But hopefully in doing that, we won't kill the book room folks during
right.
the summer.
Right.
Because it gets to be, I mean, by the time we hit the book sale,
yeah.
then we're dead. We're yeah. just tired. We're ready to see those books get sold.
Yeah.
So that's what we're really kind of looking to do this year. And so, you know, if we've got any businesses in the area that would like to do that, you know, hey, please get a hold of us.
Well, because as you mentioned, the way that you would normally collect it, how long has the book sale been around?
We're 18th sale.
18th.
This is our 18th sale this year.
Past one was the 18th. Congratulations.
Thank you.
By the way, well done. It's become kind of a fixture of the upstate. You know, this is something that we hear about every year. Oh, it's the book sale that's coming up. And it's over in McAllister Square.
Yeah, McAllister. We take over the entire interior of the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And it is – we're very thankful they let us do that every
sure.
year. And so, yeah, it's – we put out about 360-something tables.
Wow.
And then they're all covered on the top and usually underneath in books.
Yeah, yeah.
And CDs and movies.
Sure, sure. And as you mentioned, the donations for the book sale would normally come in over roughly 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, there's a period of time where you're collecting for that, and now you're trying to distribute that across the entire year.
Well, and we've always done year-round donations,
well, sure.
but just at McAllister Square.
Right.
So you're having to bring your books to McAllister Square, which we still do every, you know, all year long. But we're trying to kind of get, like – expose ourselves to other places.
Sure.
And so it's like, you know, Starbucks has done book drives for us in the past, but Grateful Brew hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
We had Malden Sports Center did for us in October, which was fantastic, and a couple of other gyms and things. You know, it's great just to kind of get our name out there, people who may not know we exist.
Right.
You know, and making the connection between Greenville Literacy and the book sale, because some people really don't realize that this is a fundraiser for us.
Yeah.
They just know it's a book sale.
You know, that you guys do a lot of publicity for the book sale,
yeah.
but not nearly as much for the association. So
yeah,
I can understand.
It's making the connection between, you know, hey, that book that you just bought is going to help somebody else get their education. That there's a you know, absolute connection that every book that you buy or you donate makes a difference.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's, you know, that's important. And Greenville County has been amazing for us. And, you know, we really do appreciate it. And so we're looking to kind of get us out there in a few more places.
Sure.
And so, yeah.
So that's the opportunity here. Mm-hmm. A couple of opportunities here. If you have books to donate, if you are a person that wants to donate some books, there are more opportunities to do that now.
Yes.
Coming up in January, you mentioned
After School Plus, which is in Malden.
After School Plus.
They do, I think, gymnastics and
okay.
after school. They do some tutoring, I think, over there too
yep.
for kids. But yeah, they did a book drive for us during the summer, and so I'm trying to kind of spread some of these folks out, and then kind of pick up some new folks and new businesses every month.
So there will be more locations than just McAllister Square.
That's correct.
To donate books. I guess the website greenvilleliteracy.org is going to have a list of those.
If you go under events, and then the top one is book drives, if you click on that, that will tell you every month where other locations are other than just us.
Gotcha. But then there's also an opportunity for local businesses to be the location for people to come and donate books.
Yep. And they can reach out to me. My email address is phillips@greenvilleliteracy.org. And you can also find me on the website.
Sure.
But they can reach out to me, and all we ask is pick a month. You know, pick a month. Tell us what 4 weeks you want to do this, and we will get you a box. We'll get your information and your logo, and we'll advertise you too.
Well, and this is sort of one of those public service things that businesses can do. You know, I'm reminded of the signs that you see on the roadside that say the next 2 miles, you know, cleaned up by, you know, XYZ Corporation. Yeah. And they have, you know, their employees, and people go out every month or so and pick up trash and make sure that the roads are nice. And here's another opportunity for businesses to serve their local community by.
Well, we have businesses that don't have walk-in traffic, like a Starbucks has walk-in traffic.
Right.
But like usually in the month of June, Floor, their offices do a book drive for us. And so we have offices that are doing that too. And so it doesn't have to be a business that just has walk-in people. It could be, hey, our office would like to get together and do a book drive for you this month. Which is great. We have some schools that we're working with, like Beta Clubs and Honor Societies, that are doing the same thing. And so it's opportunities to kind of, you know, serve your community.
And all of this goes to benefit the really good, really big, really cheap book sale, which is held on a weekend, typically around August.
Yeah, usually the second weekend in August.
Second weekend in August. So people can kind of put it in their calendar for next year and plan in 8-9 months to go visit.
It will be here before we know.
Yes, that's the thing. It'll be here before you know it. And there are, speaking of opportunities, there are plenty of opportunities. On the weekend, it's not just the book sale on the day. You've got a soiree the night before.
Yeah, we do a preview party the night before. That's a ticketed event.
Okay.
And then we have the Sunday bag sale, which is the please get it out of here, please.
Right.
Please take it home.
If it fits in the bag, there's a certain price for the
it's
bag.
It's $10 a bag and just stuff it.
Yeah.
Full of books.
As many books as you can fit in there, you can have for 10
and
bucks.
And people are creative. It's outstanding.
Oh, I bet.
I love watching them. I'm like, wow, that's
good.
Got
Jenga towers sticking out of the bag. But this isn't the only fundraiser that you do. There's a spelling bee that happens right after the beginning of the year, typically around March, Eleanor. This is a rather newer fundraiser for you guys.
That's right. This will be our third year this March. It's going to be on March 28th this year, and we're very excited. It'll be at Larkin's.
Next year, strictly speaking.
Right.
But yes,
that's right. The book sale on.
Okay.
That's kind of how our brains work.
It's interesting. Companies have fiscal years that don't necessarily correspond to the calendar year.
Right.
You guys have
we have book sale years.
The book sale is the beginning of the year for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So in 2019, we will have another spelling bee. We're really excited about it. It's just an opportunity for us to have some fun and introduce people to what we do and get back.
And how does this go on the night?
We do teams because we can't find people who are brave enough to come up on their own. So it's really fun. We have hors d'oeuvres, we have cocktails, and then we have everyone sit down at their table with their teams. The teams are made up of corporate sponsors or public teams. So we ask that people donate to be a team. And we have a great response with that. We've had up to 13 teams. And so we give them a word. They convene for a few seconds, and then they get up and spell. And, you know,
spelling
hilarity
by committee,
ensues.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only way I could pull
it. It is. It is trial by fire. It's very funny and very fun. And it gives people kind of a feeling of, you know, what someone might be coming to us, what they might feel. So, you know, they get nervous, kind of being put on the spot.
Yeah.
Can you spell this word? It makes them a little scared.
Sure.
It makes them second guess themselves. They get these kind of same experiences that someone coming to us for classes might feel. Can I do this? you know, what is my level? What are people going to think of me? You know, your education's really put to the test. So it puts you in their shoes for a night to be able to say kind of this is their experience and this is why it's so important to give back.
You know, that's a really interesting point that somebody who is going through your programs and learning either English as a second language or through the adult literacy programs or anything else that you offer – that's the process that they're going through. They're learning to recognize letters, recognize words, learn to spell things, learn to write things, learn to read things. And being – it's – I have recognized a number of times that literacy is one of the easiest skills to take for granted. You know,
absolutely,
it's when
yeah.
you know how to read something, you don't think while you're reading it, I know how to read this. You just read it. You
yeah.
just do it. It's so natural and innate. And somebody who doesn't know that and is trying to learn it, it's just it seems like such a big task.
It is. Pro-literacy a few years back did a story on a woman named Cleo who was, I think, 73 years old. And even her kids didn't know that she could not read.
Wow.
Because it's easy to fake, you know, if you go to a restaurant.
Yep.
Every restaurant has French fries. So you look at the menu and even though you can't read it, you say, oh, I want the fries. You know, there are ways to get around it. So there are a lot of people that come to us that are much older that say, you know, I've gotten by, but I really want to start to excel and start to really live with the skill. So it's pretty amazing. And we offer everything from those very basic literacy skills all the way up to job training and job skills, mm-hmm. anything from this is how the alphabet works to this is how you dress for a job interview or this is how to yeah. do an application online on a computer. So we're proud to be able to offer all of those services.
And you talked before about scholarships that you offer. We've talked about some of the fundraisers that you do. You've also got a campaign, Make Your Mark.
Yes. Yeah. We are just dropping this campaign.
Okay.
So breaking news.
Okay. Oh, good.
we're
not
really
usually a news program here,
right,
but I'll take it.
Right. Right. So we're really excited about this. We have had a very generous donor, the Makulinski Family Foundation, who we've been working with to figure out a way to help our graduates give back. So we have these people go through our programs. They get their GEDs. They go out into the workforce. And we've had a few of them come back and say, you know, I want to do something for Greenville Literacy because you guys helped me so much. So we worked with this Makulinski Family Foundation to kind of create this this campaign to say, you've graduated from our programs. You're successful. Now here's what you can do to help someone else be successful. So the deal is that if you've graduated from our program, so graduates, if you're listening, you can kind of give back to Greenville Literacy in a number of ways. You can give back monetarily. If you donate, the foundation will match your donation 2-to-1. So if you give $1, they'll give $2. That makes your donation triple. And if you don't have the means to give financially, we do have an option for you to come in and do volunteer hours. So you can come back in and teach a class, you can tutor, you can volunteer at our front desk, at the book sale. We have so many different things you can do. And they will match $10 for every hour that you volunteer. So we're really excited about that. It is open to our graduates, and we really want to get the word out about that because it's so important to us. We've had just some great responses to it. So that's going to be going from now until the end of May.
Okay.
That match program.
But needless to say, there are always opportunities to donate either books or money or office supplies or whatever,
yeah.
whatever you guys need, and opportunities to donate your time as well to volunteer.
Absolutely. And you can check out all of those opportunities on greenvilleliteracy.org. We have donation information. We have volunteer info. We are very excited for however you want to get involved.
Again, that website, greenvilleliteracy.org, greenvilleliteracy.org. Eleanor Vaughn, Director of Development, and Kim Phillips, the Office Coordinator over at Greenville Literacy, have been my guests today. Thank you so much, ladies, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.